if you've got a mortgage that you can handle, sure, it's more than what it was, but if you can handle the mortgage, you've got a term. It's a term. It's not, you're not locked in for 10 years. You're locked in for a couple of years. You can change. That whole thing can change. Generally, it'll come down. You've been paying into it. You've got your equity, but just buy in. I'm telling people, if you're buying a house right now, expect to see zero increase in price.
You're listening to the Ottawa Real Estate Podcast with your hosts, Paul Stevenson, David Warren, and Greg Campbell. Let's see what's going on in the world of real estate today.
Yes.
Hey, yeah.
Hello, we are live. The Ottawa Real Estate Podcast.
It is.
Monday, November 7th. Don't even have to make up the date today. I am here with Greg Campbell, here with David Warren. My name is Paul Stevenson. I am a mortgage agent at paulstevenson.ca. David Warren, mortgage agent, owner, Referral Mortgages. Greg Campbell, realtor.
Picking my teeth.
Managing director at the Agency Ottawa.
At the Agency Ottawa.
At the Agency.
The Agency.
We are back. We are here to answer all of your questions. And we have some things to talk about, gentlemen.
Yeah, we do.
Firstly, let's talk about our amazing listener that we had the pleasure of hanging out with last week. Mm-hmm. We actually, for anyone who listens regularly, we had a contest maybe a month ago, probably even longer, maybe a month and a half ago. And one lucky listener, Michael, actually one lucky. He was very lucky. Got to have dinner with the three of us. Was super, really, really nice guy, down to earth. You know, government employee, recently moved to Ottawa not too long ago. Couldn't work out better.
Good guy.
Couldn't work out better.
Good. Ended up leaving and shooting some pool. Haven't done that at McLaren's in a while.
I love that. Yeah. Walking down Elgin like, what's up?
Oh, yeah.
McLaren's. Haven't been in there in ages.
Yeah, it felt like old times for sure. For sure. How was the weekend, gentlemen? How we doing? It's Monday. New week.
Good. Good. I hung out with some friends, you know, and their kids. And showed a couple homes. That's about it. I had a really relaxing weekend. Actually, it was great. It was great. Checked out a restaurant though I hadn't been to before, Publico, on Wellington.
Yeah,
pretty cool. Ironically, it turns out I know the owner's partner. Used to work with him back in the day, so there's a small world connection, you know.
Publico is Publico. Near the Wellington, I believe, right?
It's right beside the Wellington Butcher, actually.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. Fine demand. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking
New
about.
New York now. Style. I'm plugging it right now for Rodman. Yeah. It's great. It's New York style, like Philly cheesesteak sandwiches, New York style pizza, smoked meat sandwiches, mac and cheese.
I mean, I'm sold. I'm bringing them up on Google images, and they got a
it's
photo
good.
Of,
and it's and
of
it's,
the Jays
it's
game on
bar.
In the bar. I'm
it's
sold.
Small, so it's like it's just a nice vibe. It's a good vibe, and the food was amazing.
Mac and cheese sounds fantastic.
Mm.
Sounds fantastic.
Any food right now sounds fantastic.
So we, gentlemen, we already have some questions rolling in here, but I think. Let's just roll into them. We can, you know, we can get into the articles later, but should we touch on the questions from last week or do you want to go with the live questions, gentlemen?
Whatever.
Okay.
Pick it.
let's go. We'll touch on the ones from last week. They're mostly comments, a couple questions, but
yeah, let's do that.
Last week we were talking about the upcoming housing pandemic. That was actually 2 weeks ago. So last week, comments 107. Bear with me, gentlemen. Here we go. So let's see. We got higher rates shoves sense and accountability into every one, last one of them. So I think Raj Winder was just saying that the rates went up and now the three of us are very logical. Assuming a recession is coming, what are the main differences in buying and or financing during a recession versus a growth period?
Very good question. I to that point, I got three appraisals back from the same client today, all down anywhere from $35,000 on one below the last time he got it appraised 2 years ago, to a high or a new low, high low, new low of of $175,000 off what it was, what he last refinanced or did anything with it. Purpose of this was simply for seeing what equity was available across all properties for possibly a second to leverage for a project. But yeah, I mean, really kind of stalls what his options are for his investment project. So we're kind of back to the drawing board based on where they're at. So certainly in a, not necessarily a recession, but just in what we're dealing with right now, I know Greg does have stats, but in values coming down, that it's bringing down, you know, values of existing properties. So trying to refinance, certainly pull out any equity becomes challenging. Maybe your property has come down from where it was before, you know, where you purchased that maybe 9 months ago, a year ago. It and I mean, we, you know, I think somebody, you know, to the last guy saying, you know, higher rates shove sense and accountability into us. We did comment, and Greg was even commenting a year ago, 2 years ago, if you're buying right now, you're overpaying, you're paying based on a price in the future. You know, if you plan on doing anything short term, you know, you shouldn't be maybe necessarily looking at this. You got to look further out down the road that you're staying in this property. So I think Greg was even a year ago and 2 years ago was right in the nail on the head with those, in those comments. Ding, I wish ding. We could figure out the, timestamps for those.
Yeah, it would be good. I would say, you know, to answer Dick's question, assuming the recession is coming. So main differences in buying and financing during a recession versus the growth period would obviously be things like that, like variables that are outside of our control, values coming in lower. Main differences buying and financing during a recession versus a growth period is also, typically the rates during a recession are going to be hopefully on a decrease, whereas we saw, you know, over the last couple of years, the rates have been extremely low also during a growth period, which I think is not normal. But I guess that's, you know, we're kind of hitting a balance point now where rates were low. It was a great buying opportunity. People were, you know, firing on all cylinders, and also people listing were much more willing to list their property knowing it was going to sell in 4 or 5 days. But I would say, you know, financing during a recession is more challenging on our side as brokers, just because of all the factors that are outside of our control. So, you know, lenders tightening up, values coming in lower than expected, rates changing midweek. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen, you know, even variable rates increasing between the time that you get your approval to the time that you fund. We've seen that lots of times in the last couple of months. So there's a lot of differences, but it's a great question. I feel like I kind of contradicted myself at the beginning, so I was trying to make it up there at the end.
It certainly is, can be challenging from a financing standpoint. We've said it before, when values are maybe dipping a bit, if you are buying a property, I mean, there's going to be a lot of good opportunities out there for those of you that have been sitting on the sidelines, looking for short-term purchases, or short-term, looking at the short-term for rates but wanting to stay in the property long-term. But really it's in like, get that appraisal ordered immediately. Things like that. I have heard of, you know, others where there was, river agents recently, they got the deal in and appraisal came in. It came in from another bank. They borrowed, tried going elsewhere, came in. Appraisal came in 80,000 light, and they ordered three of them all light. And, you know, so they're having to come up with that because they were shopping for a rate to try and get a bit of a deal. And that 3 months they spent trying to get a rate discount, the appraisal was never ordered. And they ended up basically on paper, you know, that amount being slashed off the value, if you will. So they're having to come up with it out of pocket.
So I'm gonna roll on to the next question, just because I know we have a few piling up here in the chat, and there were some really good ones last week. So Bicheron says, do you guys have any stats on how many mortgages in Canada are on a variable rate mortgage? And I actually do have that stat, so it was a perfect segue. And then he said, I would imagine those who purchased in the last 2 years are on variable rate mortgages, maybe in financial trouble soon. What do you guys think? So an article actually came out this morning and said that slightly over one third, so I think it was 34% of Canadians currently hold variable rate mortgages. Some really interesting other stats that I heard today. So it says 46% of Canadians' assets are in residential real estate. So sorry, for every Canadian, 46% of their assets are in residential real estate. It also said in Canada, compared to the US, there's $1.65 in debt for every dollar that we earn as Canadians. For each individual Canadian, they basically have $1.65 in debt for every dollar they earn. And in the States, it's basically $1 for $1. So we have 65%, like a 65% increase over the US as far as debt for every dollar we earn. RBC also said of the 310,000 variable rate mortgages they have coming up, that they have currently on their books, 125,000 of those have either hit or are nearing their trigger rate. So that means anyone who's in a variable rate with RBC, a third of those people have already hit their trigger rate or are nearing it, which means that not a single dollar of their payment is going towards, sorry, I shouldn't say that they're basically the amount of their payment that's going towards interest supersedes their total amortization. So if it was, let's say, a 25-year amortization and the amount of the percentage of their payment that's going towards principal versus interest is so much so that there's no principal being paid down to keep them in their original amortization of 25 years. So I think the stat was something like, oh man, I want to say there was a large number of people that were in the position that they have, that they're going to basically be coming up for renewal and their rate is going to be, you know, 2 to 3% higher than what it was when they originally got it. Very interesting articles. I'll actually put them in the chat here just so whoever's listening can read those. Sorry, that was a bit of a tangent there.
No.
You guys still there?
We're here.
Yeah, still here. All good. Yeah, I think I think it will be interesting though on the variable, certainly over time, like over the next short while, as people come up for renewal. And I've been having these conversations very recently of people coming up and kind of that sticker shock, but at the same time, they've been following the news and are aware of it as well. The whole purpose though of these rising rates is to slow spending down in the economy and to pinch everyone's budget. So that's, you know, it's not really that surprising. You've got for variable rate mortgages where they are what's called an adjustable rate mortgage, that it goes up with the Bank of Canada increases. You know, I myself have seen my mortgage payments go up almost 70% from when I, you know, bought my latest house. So, you know, that's obviously a big increase that will affect people and what they're able to spend. The funny thing of your stat though, Paul, of what you're saying, $1.65 to a dollar in the US, kind of makes me think about all our ridiculous taxes that we have, that if we, you know, reduce that, maybe people would be able to pay down their debt. But that's you know, that's for a different podcast, maybe. I don't know. But
yeah, it was very speaking about taxes quickly, just for people to get an idea. I work with someone who buys and sells a lot of property, and we were looking at doing this big deal. I was talking to you guys about it last week, actually. So it didn't happen and the numbers didn't work. And this would have been one of his first big deals in Ontario with a new build project. And the prices that we got were great. Everything was great. But in the end, the fees, the taxes and everything on top of it just didn't make the numbers work for an investment. So now think about that. Like, and that's another person who was ready to spend quite a bit of money for 10 units that would have been able to be rented out, but now it's not even going to happen. And he's going to go buy in another province that is more, is tax less. And you know, it was just a really interesting experience to go through. He was just like, there's no way in the world this works. I think in the total end of the project, it was like 350,000 in extra taxes and fees because it was Ontario. It's like,
yeah,
why would you do that? Yeah. And you know, and in the end, when it's done, they're gonna lose, you know, on the income. So Ontario's got a long way to come for that, for sure.
So go ahead, Dave.
No, I was gonna say, might as well keep going on with Bicheron's.
Sure, yeah. So his he said, isn't the biggest supply issue being that we have an extreme shortage of tradespeople, regardless of any new policies to build home faster? How in the hell will they do that with a shortage of tradespeople?
Absolutely agree. Like, hence, I mean, we need policy. There are tradespeople. Like, we do have a shortage, but there are people that want to work as well. I think trades are certainly an issue, but Overall, the thing that holds up projects the most is typically the city. But tradespeople is a big issue for sure. Completely agree.
So Dan says, I hear pieces of your expectations that are tied to individual subjects that you're talking about. Could you guys give a full explanation of your predictions? Maybe your predictions versus industry organizations versus banks versus CMHC versus Bank Canada versus credit rating agencies. Are most of them similar or conflicting? So I don't know what specifically, which we make a lot of predictions on the show. So I don't know which one specifically he's talking about. Expectations of, we talk about rates, market values. So Dan, if you're watching, please specify in the comments here.
I would just elaborate on that, saying that our information that we're passing along and, you know, predictions are based on articles issued by all of the above that Dan commented. Industry organizations, the banks, CMHC articles, Bank of Canada and their in TIFF's commentary. Not necessarily credit agencies or IMF, but certainly the others that we typically, you know, kind of reference. And for, you know, things about supply or anything like that, we are referencing international agencies that evaluate, you know, G20, G7, things like that, as far as where those figures are coming from. We don't just kind of pull them out of nowhere. So that's kind of, so from a comparing, it's certainly have to really break that down, because they're all of those are all over the place, you know, in,
yeah,
when talking about or quoting each individual one.
Yes. Yes. That's my only comment.
You know, but talk, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, Sasha, the repeated assumption that rates will come down in a year is completely unfounded. 3 to 5% is much closer to historical norms than what we just experienced. This is classic case of optimism bias, as all the hosts will lose money if things don't go the way they hope. Well, yes, in the threes is historic norms, and us saying that rates will come down is based on the lead economists in Canada and Bank of Canada and all other agencies. But you are right, the in the threes is more of a balanced market.
Yeah, it's where it never should have left.
Yeah.
Should have just stayed there.
Yeah.
The pendulum will always swing. If it goes one way, it's gonna whip back the other way.
And I really wouldn't be surprised if we didn't learn anything from this last drop in rates to like zero. And I bet it will happen again at some point, somewhere down the line.
Oh man, it can't.
Like,
God. Episode 1025 of
Dora. We don't really learn from our past mistakes all that much.
True. When it comes to, as humans, we tend to repeat silliness.
Let's slide into the live questions here, just so you know, we can make sure everyone believes that we're actually live, for one, and two, that we can actually answer the questions of the people that are tuning in. So Allison says, hey folks. Hello, Allison. I was wondering, what is the better, in your opinions, with these high rates, a cosigner or a higher down payment?
Interesting.
I would say it's dependent on your situation, Allison, and what that cosigner situation is. If the cosigner is planning on qualifying for another mortgage on their own, needing to refinance, you know, if they invest in real estate, anything like that, or something where they need to have their, you know, that debt off the books, then I would say, if available, then the higher down payment to leave that cosigner off. For the primary borrower, it doesn't affect you when a cosigner's on. It affects the cosigner, because the cosigner is obligated to cover all of that debt. If you were to miss a payment, the cosigner is on the hook for the entire payment. So when they are going to qualify for something else, that whole mortgage payment, that property tax payment, is all incorporated into their qualifying debt liabilities to be offset. So that's something that really you know, needs to have that conversation there, because otherwise, if the higher down payment's available, then just go that road, and it kind of keeps their liabilities clean, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, for me, if everything's equal, I mean, I think it's always better to get the higher down payment. Even if it's a gifted down payment, at least that way the property is just in your name. You don't have to worry about, you know, refinancing or restructuring it down the road. And it still gets you into the home. You know, if you can, if you need to add on another person's income or profile, as Dave mentioned, that's going to negatively impact them, or they can give you, say, a gift of, you know, $50,000 or $100,000, whatever the amount is to get you into that home, then at least the home remains just in your name. It doesn't impact them negatively in any way financially, at least from a qualifying standpoint in the future. And I think all things equal, it's always better to kind of have a larger down payment.
Greg, we finally have one for you. What's the outlook for neighborhoods like the Glebe and Westboro if public servants do not come back? From Alexander Graham Bell.
I thought that was an interesting question, because like, do all the public servants work in the live in the Glebe and Westboro? Or I don't know. You know, it's funny. I saw that pop up and I just started kind of trying to run the stats here for those neighborhoods, and everything is running very slow. So I don't think that's going to pop up for me. But, you know, you got to remember something about the Glebe and Westboro. It's the Glebe and Westboro. So for anything to change there dramatically, I just don't know if it's going to happen. Like, those are markets that are established and will be established. They will stay like that. You know, it's not like Westboro all of a sudden is going to turn into Vanier, you know, and then Vanier turn into Westboro, although Vanier is, you know, it's coming up, but it's not going to go that way. People want to live there. People pay for the amenities, the prestige, you know, everything that's going on there. I can't foresee anything changing there in the future, other than, you know, just like the rest of the city balancing out a bit. Those will always be in demand, hot markets. People want to live there.
I would say the makeup of those, the residents in those areas, you know, there are quite a number of public servants, but you're also, you know, the makeup of the residents isn't, you know, a lot of public servants in a lot of those areas. Like an average, like the average in the Glebe price point must be a 1.25, 1.4 as far as like purchase price. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't imagine that the makeup of a number of those residents are public servants unless they bought and have been there for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. And the same with Westboro, you know, there's obviously different pockets and different price points, but you know, it's, I don't see it changing that much.
I mean, it's still, I did get something here. Westboro, I mean, there was 10 units sold in the last month down there. Average price is $1 million. And I mean, I'm talking between condos and single family, 41 days on market. You know, mm-hmm. that's standard for that, that neighborhood for right now. I mean, it's rock and roll.
I think where it's going to affect the most from like a neighborhood for public servants not coming back in the immediate right now is Centertown and the condo market, mm-hmm. in Centertown, for people that are just starting out, things like that. And really just commercial, like the businesses that are down there that aren't being, you know, don't have people coming and spending money at their businesses. That's the market that's going to be hit the most is small commercial in those areas or small businesses, in my view.
Yeah, I'm with you on that for sure. I mean, there's a lot of condos up for sale, but you know, with the new stats coming out, the condo, the average price is up 9% from 2021. You know, what's interesting about this actually, just briefly here, I remember with the beginning when things started to change, you know, my prediction for this year was we'd have an increase of about 7%. I think Paul went closer to 9%. And, you know, it looks like that will be, if it keeps going where it is now, we could be hitting 8 or 9% increase year, like for this year as compared to 2021. So we still went up more than a lot of people expected. People thought we were going to drop. If that happens, it'll happen in the new year. But, you know, going into the next question that's there from Jill Green, talking about the average sale price for residential class property down 5%. Year over year. When was the last time prices were down year over year? That's a very good question, Jill. I do not know. I would have to investigate that pretty deeply, because I think for the last number of years, there's always been a slight increase. Maybe back, you know, going back a few years, we could find that. But I'm curious now that you asked that. So I'm going to try to look into that. Let's see what I can find.
So I think the so a lot of the stats, like Joe, like you can Google it as far as like price points, but it's usually year over year, not like specific month over month. Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably going to be the hardest.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, we're down 5% from a year ago in the residential property class. We're up in condo, but overall we're up at an 8% increase in value.
So
for residential. So I mean,
I Googled it quickly.
Okay.
I Googled it quickly. 94 to 96, we had three consecutive negative years, negative 94, negative 0.4%, 95, negative 2.9,
yeah,
96, negative 1.9.
And that's it.
And I'm going back all
those were the way. Only those were the only negative years. We looked at that before on the show.
1961, Greg. There was a negative 4% in
1961. That's it. Those, yeah, that's right. And those are the only times. I remember when we went into it and someone was trying to call us out like it was
always forget about 61.
And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, dude, no, Ottawa.
So from 56, from 1956, this includes condos as well, which Ottawa has, I believe, one of the highest or one of the most skewed like condo markets, because we have like a propensity for townhome condos where that's not the case in most other cities. But this includes condos and typically, you know, they're slower behind. But yeah, from 56 to present, there's four down years and barely down years.
Yeah.
I'm looking at, Jill asked a question about rates. So I'm looking at that time, 94. It says 5-year rate. Now this could be posted rate, but 5-year rate, 7.95. 94, 9.9% in 94. And the variable rate was 6.7. Why anyone would go 9.9, I have no idea. And then in 96, 6.2 for variable, 7.95 for fixed.
Paul, can you jump? Is it a year over year average?
It's just going history of average.
I throw you a random date on the double digit gains of what those rates were?
This is a great game.
Just out of curiosity, like 2001 and 2002.
2001, 595 variable, 75 fixed.
Yep.
2002, 395 variable, 685 fixed.
So those were 10.3% and 14.1% gains. Those years with the rates higher than what we're at now. Obviously price points are different, but so are incomes and everything else. But
did I put that in the chat? Yeah, check out those lists.
Just blows my mind that everyone thinks this is a new thing.
Yeah. I mean, again, we just look at history. We look at stats. We're not pulling them out of our.
You know, and it's interesting what I just said, because you know everyone thinks it's a new thing, but it's that's not exactly fair. It's like there's just way more information out there now, and it's easier to get it, and that's why shows like this exist.
Yeah, at the finger, the right at your fingertip.
Yeah.
And also somebody made a very good point. I think it was when we were out on Wednesday. Very knowledgeable in like different markets and Canmore and Ottawa.
Canmore hot.
Really knows his areas and things like that. But I commented about like, have you always been interested? And his comment was, you're not following it or really that paying any attention until it's your money.
Yeah.
So, you know, to that point, a lot of people, a lot of our listeners, a lot of, you know, ourselves, we don't, you know, for the most part, I'm making an assumption of the demographics of our listeners, because we get those every now and again, is that you probably have bought a home within the last 15 years, or you're thinking about buying a home and you're just researching it. And so, you know, rates of 94 or gains or losses then aren't in the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Gregory. Next. How long have you been in the real estate business, and what was your previous job / career?
Is that a serious question?
I don't know. I feel like Matt Sear might know you.
I have I've been in the business for 15 years. I've been what I'd consider full-time for 10 years. And my past life was entertainment, music, nightclub business. Performing, touring, producing, doing and that kind of stuff, DJing. Yeah.
Now, does this person know you?
Don't know.
I'm going to have to.
Oh, I'm looking him up right now.
I'm tossing up your, what you're known for.
You want to toss up my from rapper to realtor article?
He says he doesn't. Exactly. He says he doesn't know
your latest remix.
My rapper to realtor. Go on Spotify. Go on Spotify and look up Big Stuff. Listen to my tracks and listen to my wife Anastova. That's all.
Anastova, legend.
And Big Stuff.
Big Stuff. And what was the other one?
I love it, Matthew. Check the OR is one of Canada's classics, I'd say.
Nominated. Hey, you know what? I may as well say it. When I was 16 years old, I pioneered rap music in Canada with Tom Green. I was probably the first. Well, we were the first most popular white rap group. And at the time, there wasn't a lot of us that were doing it that were doing it like we did. So that's what I did as a child. Yes.
MC Bones and MC Pin.
That's correct.
Amazing. Now goes by Big Stuff.
Yeah. Shortly after Organized Rhyme.
So Allison says, does a recession look likely for the beginning of the year?
Yes.
I'm going to say yes.
I mean, it didn't we say this before? I feel like we're in some weird recession. We're in like a limbo recession.
Yeah.
I
don't know. Yeah, we're in the gray.
There are like economic indicators that we are and others that we aren't yet. But even as recently as Chrystia Freeland's speech on Friday of the kind of the budget update and all that, her comments were kind of, you know, we're not in recession yet, but likely that we're coming to one soon.
Your Disney Plus.
Pardon me?
And to cancel your Disney Plus. Dollars.
Yeah. And so we can keep paying her.
That's our finance minister giving us some sound financial advice. Cancel your Disney Plus.
Unless you have kids and double down on your Disney Plus and cancel something else.
Yeah.
But all I mean is, you know, as of Friday, she was stating that, you know, we, with this new budget update, that, you know, they're not seeing us in one right now, but it's likely to be soon. Tiff McCallum, with the latest rate increase, said that we're likely not done with rate increases. And, you know, I said it, several weeks ago as well, is that December there will be another increase. This 0.5% that we just saw was basically just to open up the doors for another 0.5% in December. So, but he's signaling that basically that will be the last, knowing that then it's trailing data and a recession to officially hit in the early new year.
Yeah. One thing I've been seeing, and this kind of all speaks to the rates and so on, is I've dealt with two clients this week that have new builds closing summer of 2023. And most lenders, especially if it's a conventional mortgage, if they're putting more than 20% down, will not lock in the rate for longer than 4 months. So I'm pre-approving clients for purchases that they're like basically purchase and sale agreements they're entering into with a builder, not knowing where, you know, rules, rates, anything are going to go. So if they're buying at the max of their purchasing power and rates go up, you know, another 0.5%, that could push them to a point where they no longer qualify. So there are some challenges on our side in a rising rate environment, or at least an uncertain rate environment where, the field goal, the posts are moving, the goalposts move. As we've seen a few times over the last few years, it tends to happen in society. And we're dealing with that now with rates because we don't really know. I mean, we like we said, this last rate announcement, we thought one thing was going to happen, another did. And that's going to continue, I think, going into the new year. So whether or not we're in a recession or we're heading towards a recession, ultimately, rates are still a wild card. So something to consider if you're entering into a buying agreement, just be sure to talk to a mortgage professional to make sure that you know what to expect and that there's no surprises going into the new year.
I mean, really the only thing you control is, according to producer Steve, is to not to cancel your Disney Plus and to watch The Bear.
Gonna have to check that out.
That's right. The only thing you control, not rates.
What's next here?
What are the best suburban neighborhoods from I gotta keep calling you Alexander Graham Bell. What are the best suburban neighborhoods in Ottawa as far as amenities, value for money, for your house, connectivity to the to the city via transit?
That really depends on you. There's so many factors there. Like all the major suburbs, you know, Kanata, Stittsville, Barrhaven, Orleans, Findlay Creek, Riverside South, you know, they're all kind of connected in the same way. It just depends on what your budget is and what you're looking for. Cause historically Orleans will always be a little bit, you'll get a little bit more value. In terms of, like, if you can't afford a certain number, Kanata is going to cost you more. Barrhaven is generally number two. Orleans is number three. So something in Kanata might be $50,000 more for the same house in Orleans. I do find that, especially now with the LRT coming out to Orleans, that's going to boost up the value here, I think, especially around where the terminals are.
Oh, Jeanne d'Arc area, like that.
Jeanne d'Arc, Orleans, yeah. Boulevard, Place d'Orleans, Trim Road. Like the values up there are going to go, like I think they're going to increase, I don't know, 10, 15% at least just when that's done automatically, no matter what type of product it is. But I mean, amenity wise, the suburbs, you're getting the same. It just, like, I mean, it's just plazas all over the place. So wherever you are, you're going to get your, you'll get your bus route, or you'll get, you know, or bus to the LRT or bus into the city. You know, there's always ways to get around, but the amenities overall, they're still the same. It just depends on where you want to be. I'm in Orleans. I'm up the hill right now. I'm a 10-minute walk to the office where I am right now. You know what I mean? I can bike to go get groceries if I want to, but it's the same thing if you live in, you know, in certain parts of Barrhaven or Kanata or any suburb. So, I mean,
it just depends on whether you're looking right now or in a year or 2 years when the LRT phases start finishing too, right?
But it's a very good point, because if you are looking to buy now where there's going to be automatic value, I would look in Orleans towards where the LRT stations are going to be. I think those will be solid investments, because when that thing is done, you'll be doing all right.
Yeah.
Unless we're still in a recession for 10 years.
And I think it also depends
on 14%.
It depends on what amenities as well are important to you. I think you guys kind of touched on that, but you know, if you're someone who really likes whatever biking, let's say, you're going to want to be closer to the river or down by the bike pass or what have you. Or like you said, Greg, if you're you know, Dave lives in kind of the downtown area, so you know, walking distance to most things. Greg's in suburbia, so you know, closer to the grocery stores and the you know, the gymnastics and the this and that. So it really depends on what what you're looking for as well for you and your family.
Yeah. If you're listening and if that that seems like a very I'm trying to figure out where to move kind of question to me. So if you want to talk more about that and like if you're actually looking for more information about the city, you can send me a message or give me a call.
Mathieu says, Greg, do you, perfect segue for you, Greg, actually. Greg, do you mentor any new or up and coming realtors / sales representatives? And if not, do you know any experienced realtors or group of realtors that do? Thanks.
That's a very good question. I don't have a specific program in place, but wait a minute. I now do have a program in place. So, give me a call. Anyways, I can tell you a little bit about it, but I do know some people who, do mentorship, who, do some serious training. It just really depends on what you're looking for. Like if you're looking to work in Ontario, like as a realtor and work with someone who can mentor you, like there's definitely things you can do. The only people that I really work with specifically are the people that I'm involved with at my brokerage or on my team. So I don't do anything unless you're working directly with me. But I am, I'm almost into phase two of completing what is a new agent's field manual. I don't know the name yet, but it's coming out and it's going to be available hopefully just in the early new year. And what it's all about is like, you got your license and then what's next after that. So I'm working on that right now with Andrea from our office at the agency. So yeah, you can look for that.
But yeah, I would say, yeah, reach out to Big Stuff.
Reach out to Big Stuff. If you just want to chat, Matt, like for sure, I mean, give me a call. We can go grab coffee, beer, whatever.
Allison says, what are the updated stats for rentals in the Orleans market? How many? How long on the market?
Who just said this? Who's saying this?
Allison.
Allison's asking me about Orleans. Talk about something else, and I'll give you the exact information here in a couple seconds.
All right. Ian Way. Pay off mortgage or invest in RSPs. Seems simple, but gets complicated. Variable and we'll ride it out. We're already in a recession.
I like it. All over the place.
I like it.
Question, statement.
Yeah. It is very complicated. It is not a simple question. Depends on your income level, how much contribution room you have to your RSPs, how much you're putting in, what is it if contributing to RSPs, how many tax brackets that bring you down? Like what's your credit going to be back at the end of the year? So looking at that is going to, you know, vary and make that a very complicated answer just alone based on the tax deduction, let alone what kind of rate of return you get in your RSPs. Cause you got to take into account your, like the taxes that you're going to be getting back, plus are you going to be investing it? What's your estimated rate of return versus what are you paying on your mortgage? Like what's your interest rate on your mortgage? So I think it can be pretty complicated.
Also, what are you doing with that property? Like, are you planning to sell it in 5 years for your primary home? You're going to get those capital gains tax free and then reinvest them elsewhere, maybe in a tax-free savings account. Sounds like a financial planner question.
Or is it a rental property and then you can refinance it, get that money equity out tax free, and invest in another project or another property, pay off debt, you know, consumer debt, which is maybe at 20% or 12%. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of variables to that question. It certainly is complicated and not a lot there. I would definitely speak to a financial planner to go through, you know, where you're at and what you're looking to accomplish. We are not the people for that.
Goals help set roadmaps.
Not in that respect.
Yeah, off the record. We'll discuss it off the record. Dave's the TOREP in-house accountant. He'll give you all the tax advice you need. But
not an accountant. So don't take it with a grain of salt.
We've had that conversation before.
Yeah.
I'm still working on these stats. I don't know why again, but it's super slow here tonight.
Yeah.
It's coming. What else?
Good about? Comment. Variable and ride it out. I'm in complete agreement. It's definitely been, like Dave said, I'm in a variable rate myself. So definitely seen my payments increase dramatically over the last 6 months. But I also still feel like, you know, converting it to fix at this point would be shooting myself in the foot for sure. And I also think if you look at, and we've said this so many times, so sorry for the redundancy, but if you look at the full 5-year body of work of a variable rate, it typically will outperform the fix. So we'll have to see on renewal where things stand. But I would imagine if we do hit that recession early next year, or if we're already in one, according to Ian, that we're going to see the variable rates come down again, probably end of 2023 and probably into 2024. And that will balance out the average rate of interest for those variable rate clients.
And when we do talk about rates coming down to kind of that person's point, last week's episode, I think, saying, you know, rates are typically 3-5%. Their target rate of what they've said as far as like a balanced Bank of Canada overnight lending rate, not bank prime, but overnight lending rate is 2.5. So that's something to be mindful of. I think right now we're 3.75 overnight rate. So basically, you know, and likelihood of a 0.5% increase and it coming down basically in half from where it is now. So, you know, keep that in mind.
Okay, I got some numbers here. For Orleans, was that Allison that asked the question?
Mm-hmm.
Is that who we're talking to? Allison, Orleans. I did it for, like I usually do on the show, I just did townhomes because that seems to be the hottest market overall. Now, currently 65 townhomes on the market with an average price of $615,000. That's skewed quite a bit by a couple of really, really big ones that don't make sense. So I think it would be more accurate to put that at about $600,000 would be the average price.
Mm-hmm.
There's six conditionally, but that's it. So 65 currently active. Six conditionally sold right now. Average price, 623. That's very interesting. Average days on market is 60. 2 months. Hitting those numbers like I called it months ago. Sold in the last month. Average sales price is 590,000. Average days on market, 36. So if you, and I say this to everybody, if you have the capacity to buy and you're looking right now, you've got a lot of opportunity for success, because the people that are on the market now, the ones that don't really need to sell, what I'm finding is that they're in the process of thinking of pulling it off, or they've already pulled it off, anticipating on maybe waiting till spring. The ones that are on the market, they're looking to sell. If you are a seller and need to sell, price it accordingly so that you sell and you don't sit for the 47 days like these other active ones, or the 60 days, or, you know, whatever. But it's, you know, if you can do it, I'd pull the trigger for sure. There's a lot of opportunity right now.
Agreed. And worst case, you buy now and rates are high. When they come down, refinance. Get a lower rate.
Yeah. And you know, I was having this conversation with someone tonight. You know, we were talking about, you know, if you got a mortgage that you can handle, sure, it's more than what it was, but if you can handle the mortgage, you've got a term. It's a term. You're not locked in for 10 years. You're locked in for a couple of years. You can change. That whole thing can change. Generally, it'll come down. You've been paying into it. You've got your equity, but just buy in. I'm telling people, if you're buying a house right now, expect to see zero increase in price. That's like, plan for zero increase in price. If you plan for that, everything else will be amazing, because, well, if it goes up, I can't imagine it's going to drop much more than now. If it does, it'll be minor and it'll correct. But like, if you're in a place now, 2 years, it might be worth the same thing. That's a maybe.
Starting house, first home, Paul. Like, Paul, I think you need to always reiterate like your first home story.
Yeah, I was just thinking that myself. Like, this is a new phenomenon where people think, like, basically buying real estate as an investment class is obviously a thing, but buying your primary home as an investment class is certainly a new thing that people are imagining. My first home, again, apologize for anyone who's heard this. My first home I bought in 2011 for $212,000. It was a 3-bedroom townhome. And 7 years later, I sold it for $217,000. So it went up $5,000 over 7 years. But just from principal pay down, I had, I think, roughly $50,000 or $60,000 in equity just from the principal pay down and prepayments and so on. So just from the principal pay down over 7 years, was able to sell that property at what was a record on the street at $217,000 at the time, take that money and reinvest it into my second home. But and obviously that home now sells for, you know, $450,000 or something ridiculous. But the point is that even like when I bought that home, my expectation wasn't, oh, I'm going to buy it for $212,000 and sell it for $350,000 in 5 years from now. It was just kind of, I'm going to have a home to live in. I'm going to pay down the mortgage. And whenever the time comes that I need to sell, I'll reassess, you know, the equity in the home and see where things stand at that point. But to your point, Greg, I think when you buy a home that's going to be your primary home, not a rental, but like your actual primary residence, buy it for the sake of having a roof over your head and not paying someone else's mortgage in the form of rent. Like, just buy it for the sake of having that nest egg of principal pay down. And if it appreciates over time, which in Ottawa historically it does, then, you know, in 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years, you will have that return that you're expecting.
And don't get distracted by what's going on and everyone's talking about like, oh, it's terrible, recession, like, you know, bad time to do this. It's like, it's good, it's bad, it's whatever's best for you. And you know, you're gonna, you might regret it one way or another, but you also might be like, that was the best thing that I ever did in my life.
What about the bubble though, Greg?
Oh, the bubble's gonna pop. Hasn't, I feel like there was a bubble. I feel like it already popped. I feel like there was a second bubble inside the first bubble.
It's definitely wheezing.
I think it expanded and then like a giant, a needle came inside and only popped the one inside. And like they put a plug on the one on the outside. And we're just kind of like floating around this bubble, this never ending bubble of madness.
It's like it's like a bike tire. It's got air coming on one side and someone else pumping on the other. They're just trying to keep it, trying to keep it afloat.
You know, again, the thing is, guys, rent a house, buy a house. You need a place to live. Do whatever makes sense for you. And that's the end of it.
I was thinking the same, like when Paul, you were telling your story and Greg, what you just said, it made me think to like my first place I bought in Barrhaven. I'd never lived out there. I was working off Moody Drive and I bought close to where I was working. My brother lived in Barrhaven. I was like, okay, this is convenient. None of my friends there. I never lived out there, but it was convenient for that time. I wasn't thinking about like future gains on the property. It was what makes sense at that time. Could I make those payments, et cetera? I never thought about, you know, what it was going to go up, look at historical gains and think about it.
This
like
is,
the Paul's point
this
of like
is
thinking
a new
about
thing.
It as like an asset investment.
This is a new thing. That's what I'm saying. That's a new thing, man. In the last couple of years, people have turned it into like what you're saying, Paul. It's like gambling. Yeah. It's like a stock. You know what I mean? Everyone's thinking like, holy shit, I'm going to buy a house and I'm not going to make 50 grand on it in 2 years. What is this? This is crazy. It's so risky. It's like, no, dude, you need to live somewhere. You'll make that 50 grand back over a few years. Sorry, you're not going to make it in 12 months like some people did in the last 2 years that didn't really even exist. That shit never happened. We're back to square one. I don't know what I mean. We're back to the real world of real estate where it should be. It's changing. It's coming out on a nice even pace. That's my thought anyways.
It'd be great if we could remove the last 2 years and just see a chart of where the market was going and where it is now. And that instead of having that huge spike and decline, if it would have just kept going exactly to where it is, you know, and like an even keel.
Right.
I'm sure we can find that, but that's probably,
right.
I would imagine that's what it is. Right.
And that's a great comment. I think if the pandemic never happened, we would be just below, maybe just below a little bit where we are right now with the numbers. Or maybe a little bit.
I think, Greg, you said something before about if you're in the market or thinking about getting in the market, you can find some good deals. And now when you're talking about recession and now being a good time, everything you hear from anyone that's been in, you know, we're talking about real estate right now as an investment asset, you know, kind of joking about that, but also serious at the same time, because it is an asset class. But every investor out there always says during a recession is when you want to be buying.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just Googled, should people invest during a recession? Just a generic Google. Investing during a recession can provide an opportunity to find value when stocks and reputable, reliable companies are available at a reduced price. I kind of take that and I translate it to real estate as an asset class.
People need a place to live. Everyone needs a place to live, and they always will.
If you want to treat it like an asset class and we're in a recession, prices are down, invest. It's a good opportunity. And I'm not saying this, and I know people always say like, you're always high on the market. You know, we're looking at over time that the Ottawa market specifically, and this is the Ottawa Real Estate Podcast, not the Global Real Estate Podcast. But we've shown consistent gains in the Ottawa market historically since 56. There's only been 4 negative years, and the lowest was in 61 for those of you that missed it, and it was minus a negative 4.3%. Aside from that, it's all been positive gains.
And that's what we said. Even if it goes negative, like if 2023, even if it was to go negative, it would be what? Minus one, which is basically zero.
And if you are seeing it as an investment, let's just go on that notion for a second. If you're buying, let's say, Google or Tesla or whatever, you're not buying it for a 1 year return. You're typically buying it for the long term, right? You expect that company to do well over the next 10, 15 years, which is the same way that you should view your home, except that your primary home is tax free currently. So definitely better investment.
I think 1000% that the last couple of years has kind of skewed everyone's mental capacity of looking at real estate properly, and just everyone's looking for answers, and there's so much information out there. Everybody's got their own opinion, which is great, and it's good to gather as much information as you can. But just know this, and like it's real estate. You need a place to live. You need to live. You buy a house or you rent a house. If you're thinking of, you know, making millions of dollars off of one property quickly, it's not going to happen. It never will. And just build your portfolio and have a place to live for you and your family.
Mm. Well said.
I bet in 1975, after 2 years of 25.3% and 21.8% gains year over year, that in 75, when it dropped to only a gain of 6.4, the
sky was falling.
Everyone's hair was on fire as well that year, I would imagine.
And how many people probably didn't even know about that? That's the thing.
Yeah, they just own a home.
Like how many people are just, you know, like, and still to this day, sometimes occasionally it happens. Like someone will just walk into the bank. I'd like to purchase a home. Can you tell me what I need to do that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how much it costs. All right, honey, let's get it done. Right? Like seriously, but that's what it used to be like. It's
that they're like Texan hillbillies.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
I got my bank book here and I'm looking to get me a mortgage.
I'm just imagining being on a farm in America.
Dude, I remember filling out as a child, I remember filling out those withdrawal sheets, like going to the bank and actually having to fill out, like, I want to withdraw $10, basically like writing a check to yourself to the bank to then have them withdraw your funds. And they'd update my little passbook, you know?
But that's the thing. It's like back then, people don't know. It's just there's too much information now, right? And it gets confusing. And everybody kind of stops thinking for themselves because they're too distracted.
That money's all digital. So
and then even if they listen to us, then someone in their family or one of their friends had a bad experience or something like that. And then it just distracts and they have to really sets them off the course.
I posted, for those of you watching, if you're still listening to us ramble, I just posted the link to, looks to be an agent in Ottawa, and the year over year Orib Ontario Real Estate Board's year over year comparison. So you can see that it's not us.
Where'd you post that?
He's out of thin air. In the chats.
Yeah. I have that too. I was actually going to go over that a bit, but I don't know if it's necessary. Yes. We're down. Like, I mean, you know, speaking of that, you know, we sold 987 residential properties in October on our MLS compared to 1,670 in October 2021. That's a decrease of 41%. Okay, so that's wild. And now if you don't read that statistic and as a buyer and think that now is not an opportunity, excuse me. Like that's basically half sold last month of what did the year before. And there's so many homes on the market. If you don't see it as an opportunity to buy, I don't know when you're going to see that opportunity. Even if it drops a little bit more, it's not going to drop that much more. And the rates, as we know, are already going up and it could cost you more money. Mm-hmm. So the numbers are in. Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
We have one more question and then we'll slide into the mood boost. If someone is looking to purchase a rental property now and do get pre-approved, but worried about the refinancing at the end of their current mortgage in 2 years, should they wait till rates go down?
Say that again. I missed something there.
Basically, if someone's wanting to buy a rental property now and they get pre-approved to do so, I assume what Matthew's asking is worrying about, like, they'd basically be getting pre-approved based on the rate of their current primary mortgage, right? And they're getting a new investment property. So if they refinance and at the end of that current, in 2 years, I guess their rate has gone up and they no longer qualify. I guess at that point, they'd already have the rental property. So
good question.
It wouldn't be as much of a factor. I assume that's what he's asking. Maybe you can clarify, Matt, if I'm reading that correctly.
Yeah, I'm not getting it, to be honest. Could be that it's...
I thought he's just... Okay, hold on a second. I got to read this. I'm going to load this thing up here. I don't know.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, so you own your primary home. You know, you're at a rate of whatever, 3.99 fixed. It renews in 2 years. You're looking to buy an investment property now.
Yeah.
But you're worried about what your rate in 2 years will be. I mean, that comes down to a, you know, from a qualifying standpoint, it would be fine if you qualify now. But from a, you know, financial management standpoint, whether or not you can actually afford it, that really would depend on, you know, where your rents will be, what your income will be in 2 years. There's kind of some hypotheticals in there.
And where rates are.
Yeah, like that's the thing. It's like, I know almost everybody I know that bought an investment property in the last couple of years is losing, or they're going to be losing a little bit of cash flow monthly based on these changes. 100%. If you're going to buy something now, I think you'd have to have an absolutely massive down payment to make sure that, you know, that your bottom line was being met every month. You know, am I wrong, Dave? Like, I mean, you're an investor. Like I wouldn't really look at it right now, personally. An investment, unless you were trying to really play that game and you had some big pockets.
Although I will say, because I was sent a listing today, unreal deal. I won't even comment on the type of property because people are live and people can start searching for it. But there are clearly deals out there. This is on Realtor. So they're like, I would say if you're an investor and you're looking at acquiring, like there are a number of people that are needing to fire sale some properties. Mm-hmm. Maybe they've got multiple projects on the go. Something's going south. They need their cash out quick, which is what my guess is on this project or this property. But I think there will be more of those opportunities available. So if you're an investor with cash, like Greg said, you've been in the wings, go into something short term in that 1-2 year or variable, you know, waiting for and based on all of the professionals out there, say stating and economists and bankers that rates will, you know, be coming down. They're not going to stay elevated like this, you know, in perpetuity. So, you know, kind of assuming that if you have the cash available, there are going to be opportunities. There are going to be fire sales because somebody has another project on the go and they're having to sell. And they just need to get their money out quick. So you could always jump into something short term, you know, and get that rate dropped at a later date. But again, all the numbers, to Greg's point, it's got to make sense. Like regardless of what the numbers are now, it's got to make sense now for you, but it's also you got to look at what that future rents are going to be, or even if they come down to this, is that still going to make sense on this project?
Yeah. And like, if you bought a townhouse now, let's say for $600,000 in Orleans, and you had your 20% down payment, even with the rates right now, your mortgage would be probably around $2,700 or $2,750. So, you know, and let's say there's a fee on that, like an association fee, maybe. So let's say you're up around $2,800 a month. So can you rent a 3-bedroom townhome in Orleans right now for $2,800? No. $2,500, maybe, depending on what year it is. So like, that's like, think about that. You're putting down like $120,000-$130,000 on a $600,000 home, and with your interest rate, it's going to cost you $2,800. So it's not a good decision to invest in something like that right now, unless you can hold and you're planning for the future when it comes down a bit. So, you know, it's not for everybody, but it could be for you.
Yeah. I have an investment property right now. That's up for renewal in 3 days. It's a multifamily. My payments are going to increase by 65%, and I'll have to be injecting money into it monthly. So I'm going into a six month term. So in 6 months, I can see what rates are doing. It's conventional, so I can, but I'm going to do 6 months again if rates aren't where I like it before locking in. So
see,
to give you an idea, and I'm putting money in, and it's, and this is going to be roughly like $1,500 I'm gonna have to inject monthly into the project. to cover taxes and just wait for 6 months to see how rates go. So it's, I'm not selling the property. I'm not getting out of it. I know that long-term it'll work out, that we're in a, you know, it's an issue right now, an issue. but looking at short-term, you know, and the same would be on a rental. I say the same thing. Any person buying or renewing or refinancing right now, look at short-term money and just reevaluate. Don't get locked in my opinion.
God, we have so many opinions.
So many opinions.
I'm glad we actually have listeners. People apparently enjoy hearing us speak on TORUP.
Who knows what?
Shocking.
But slide into the mood boost, gentlemen.
I love this shit. Live. This is the best.
Yeah, it is.
It has to be. We got to keep this up once a month at least. Twice a month as should be.
I agree.
Thank you.
I agree.
All right, mood boost. Rolling in.
Boost me.
New listeners, you're getting some jokes. I'm going to do five today. I think they're all going to bang. So they're all going to hit. Number one, what award do you give a firefighter? Most extinguished. Oh, most extinguished.
Okay.
I think I used this one many years ago, but I'm going to bring it back. Did you hear about the two people who stole a calendar? They each got 6 months.
Amazing.
This is a good one. Where do you find a zebra with no legs? Right where you left it. A little morbid. Number four. As you guys know, I have a big fear of speed bumps, but I'm slowly getting over it.
Oh, yeah.
And last but not least, number five.
I'm glad we're not ending on that one.
Last but not least, what do you call a rooster staring at a pile of lettuce? A chicken sees a salad. Chicken sees a salad.
I don't know about that one.
Thank you to everyone who tuned in. We do really enjoy doing the live shows. This was great. It didn't even feel like it was that long. It's funny. Usually the show runs 25-30 minutes. We went well over that. But thanks for everyone who took the time out of their evening, tuned in. Thank you for everyone who's watching this after the fact. Hope that we answered all your questions. And as always, week to week, certainly throw your questions in the comments section. Be sure to subscribe and follow along and be notified when the new episodes come out. They come out every Tuesday, typically 10 a.m. This one will also be released, I guess, right away, right, Stephen? Tomorrow morning, yeah.
All listening platforms.
Yeah, yes.
Get on it.
We love it.
Yes.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. This is, it means a lot to us, I think, after doing this many shows, to see how many people stayed on and hung out with us for the entire time. It's pretty awesome. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back next week. Regular time. Enjoy your night.
Deuces.
Deuces.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please remember to like, share, comment, and subscribe, because we'd really like that.